You're listening to Ben Davis Giants Football on WBDG, Indianapolis.
Hey, let's go! It's
going to be fourth down, last play of the game, barring a penalty.
It all comes down to this.
Open your action.
Victory will not be handed to you.
Tom Allen jumping up and down, getting everybody into it, one play.
Number one, Ben Davis Football is physical. Number one, Ben Davis Football is hit.
Who's going to go home?
All you seniors! Will you let this be taken away from you?
No, sorry.
No way.
You must go seize the
moment.
It's
going to come down to the signal. Touchdown, Ben Davis. Touchdown, Ben Davis. The Giants win.
I am honored every day to put on something that says Ben Davis football. I am honored.
When you hit the door, you're a Ben Davis Giant.
Good evening and welcome into the week 6 edition of Inside Ben Davis Football. Presented by Bear Realtor. I'm your host, Jackson White. Joining me is WBDG General Manager John Easter. And, of course, your head coach for your Ben Davis Giants, Jason Simmons. The Giants had a heartbreaking loss last week against Warren, 57-56. Coach, that was a tough game to watch and just a tough game to see and a heartbreaking one, to say the least. You guys had a 22-point lead in the fourth quarter. What went wrong?
Shoot, you can go all the way back to the first quarter if you want. And, you know, when you get in a big game like that, you get in a rivalry game and you get in a game that, is going to pit two historically successful programs. I think every snap matters, and you go back and you start to look at it and you look at how, the ebb and flow of the game. You look at the opening drive of the game. We don't run fit well early, and they rip off a long run, and we didn't defend them well out of the gate, and I think that they grew some confidence from it, as they should have, and for us, I think in some ways we weren't ready to play defensively, which was surprising to me because we had a good week of practice, felt like we were locked in, felt like we had a good plan going into it, and that opened up when they got the run game going on the first drive. It opened up everything for them, and then they have some dynamic players that we talked about last week on the perimeter, and they got loose on us, obviously way too many times. Then you look offensively, and we throw two picks down in the red zone, two bad play calls by me, especially on first down in those situations, and That hurt us, two opportunities to score the football and at least come away with three, and we get nothing. We steal a kickoff, with a little sky kick there in the middle of the field. The very next play, we put it on the deck and turn it over. I can keep going. We get two pretty key injuries that guys that were out for the game, and then you want to make some changes schematically defensively, and you don't have enough depth to get the right guys in the right spots to make those changes. And so you got to live with what you got, and you got to go play, and you got to go coach. And then, you get some miscommunications because you got some secondary pairs in there that hadn't been playing together and practicing together. And, offensively, we sputtered a little bit at times, had to punt a couple of times, which is – uncharacteristic, Friday night for us. And and the next thing you're trying to hang on. You got a 2-score lead with a minute 41 left, and everybody feels good about themselves, and I'm walking up and down sideline saying, we got to finish, like, this thing's far from over, we got to go finish. Then we kick off to them, and they put together a scoring drive, and getting an onside kick situation, and we recover the first one, and we get penalized for their misalignment. They had an illegal formation and should have been whistled dead right away. But, it wasn't. We have an opportunity to recover that one, can't decline the penalty. And then you get in a 50-50 ball situation. And, I've been on the plus side of those, and I've been on the minus side of them. And, bottom line is we didn't make enough plays to win the game. And you give up 29 points in the fourth quarter, you got a punt in the fourth quarter, you don't deserve to win. And we didn't deserve to win it, and frustrating, to be honest. It's one of those games that you look back on, and it's like, man, you let that one get away. But the true character of our football team, of our coaching staff, myself first, our coaching staff and our players are going to show, how we prepare and how we answer the bell this week. We've talked to our players about that the last couple of days, and we got a pretty resilient group. We got good senior leadership. We got a resilient group of kids that – you know, they didn't stay on the mat long. They got knocked down on the mat Friday night and didn't stay on the mat long. So, you know, we've had two good nights of preparation so far for Lawrence North. You know, you look at the radar and everybody says, man, you're going to get rained on. You're going to be inside. And then we don't get a drop. So you just got to go play. You got to go play. Mm-hmm. You got to go prepare. You got to have a plan in place to put your football team in the best possible position to be successful. And, you know, I have to make sure we're doing a better job of that as a coaching staff because, you know, that's part of what hurt us on Friday.
I talked with Mike Kirshner briefly after the game, and the first thing he said to me was, that was no fun to coach. And he's like, on either side, that was just not a fun game for a coach, because I'm sure he saw things on his sideline that he would, you know, like to fix and things like that. So from your perspective, what do you tell your team after the game? I mean, what when you go into the locker room, obviously, you know, I was hanging out by the Warren locker room for a moment to talk to Mike, and, you know, they're going crazy. But your locker room, I'm sure, was much different. So what do you tell your team right after something like that happens?
Well, the one thing you have to understand, and one thing our football team has to understand is, you know, you make the choice to go play football at Ben Davis. And so, you know, football has a lot of life lessons embedded in it. You know, we told our kids all week long that the physically tougher of the two teams and mentally tougher of the two teams is going to win. And when you get into rivalry games, oftentimes that's the case. I mean, you go back and look at it and you analyze it. And I've spent a lot of time looking at this rivalry over the years and looking at the history of it because it matters. I mean, it's one, you get an opportunity to coach and play in the best rivalry in the history of definitely in the state of Indiana. I would argue against any other rivalry in the state of Indiana. But, you know, you have to be in this thing for 48 minutes, and we weren't. I mean, that's the bottom line. And so, you know, that's what I told our football team, you know, and we have to be willing to learn the life lessons that were embedded in this game about perseverance, about playing the next play, about trying to do everything you can to lock back in, even when things aren't going well. And I didn't do a good enough job of making sure our football team did that Friday. And so, you know, here you are. You know, you got an opportunity to lick your chops and to get ready for Lawrence North, or you can lick your wounds and feel sorry for yourself. And the longer you lick your wounds and feel sorry for yourself, the less you're putting intentional, calculated preparation time into getting ready for Lawrence North.
Coach, last Friday night, you guys did have a couple running plays that did get good yardage, like a couple players did have over 40 yards rushing in Dustin Beecham and Drew Martin. How do you continue to get that run going against a Lawrence North team this Friday night?
Well, when you look at what we did offensively, you know, we put up a school record for yards. You know, we put up 720 yards of offense, and you know, we had four guys run for over 50 yards, which we had obviously had not had done this year. And you can look in and say, you know, what is it? Well, for us, it was really it was the play of our offensive line. You know, you look at the five guys that we played, primarily Friday night, and Marcus Howard's had a great senior season. He started the first game of the year at center. We kicked him out to tackle. After that, he's been remarkable out there. He's a high-energy guy. He brings a lot of leadership to our offensive line. Mati Sidibe is probably as high-energy, tough a football player as we have. I mean, that dude's had a great senior year so far, and playing on both sides of the ball. He just plays with a huge motor. He plays with a lot. He plays with a big chip on his shoulder. And then, you know, you got Jabril Muhammad in there who doesn't say a word inside. He's just a tough, physical kid. Amari Phillips does a phenomenal job in the middle, playing center, controlling the line calls, protection calls, all those things. He does a great job directing traffic in there. And Keelan Davis is a three-year starter, you know, and he plays like a three-year starter. He probably is playing his best football right now since his sophomore year. And so those guys are starting to come around, come into their own a little bit. And that's what, you know, kind of got our run game going. And then you look at what Dustin was able to do. Drew Martin brings some different juice to it. Finally got Elijah Price loose. He's a sophomore, not a freshman. Not a lot of people know about him, but when we got him in the open field and got him loose on Friday, he did some really good things. And then you look at the 1-2 punch at the quarterback position, you know, Juwan Swanson and Chris Patterson. had their best week of practice together, had their most selfless week of practice together, and it showed on Friday. And when they were so seamless in their execution of the offense that it made us dangerous. And we just, you know, you go back and there's three or four plays you take back offensively and, you know, maybe put your team in a better position to win.
Yeah, some of those were turnovers, which continue to be an issue. How do you work on balancing all those great things you said with the other plays that you're referring to that kind of held you back?
Well, I think you got to take the good with the bad in some respects. You throw the football as many times as we have the last 2 weeks against, you know, two good defensive opponents. You know, every once in a while, one's going to get away from you. You know, and you got to coach your way through those. You got to look to minimize them as much as humanly possible, and you got to continue to dig on what that quarterback read is, what that quarterback, you know, what his progression is in terms of getting through the route concept. And then if it's in a bad situation and you got an opportunity to live to see another play, just chuck that thing out of bounds or chuck it over somebody's head and let's live to see another down. So it's really threefold when you get in the passing game. Look at the ball we put on the deck. We hadn't really done that a bunch this year. We did it in week one. Really the first time we just got caught in between, you know, he read it wrong and knew he read it wrong, tried to make up for it. And it's that old adage, two wrongs don't make a right, you know? And so just comes at the inopportune times. He knows what to do. Both of them do back there. Juwan and Chris both do. We got to continue to grow and get better in live in-game situations and continue to coach our way through it. And, you know, I think a lot of that is on the play caller. And making sure we put our guys in the best possible position to be successful.
So, Coach, offensively, you guys looked pretty sound. I mean, breaking a school record in yardage is kind of big, just a little bit. But defensively, you guys did allow 57 points. And I would assume that's one of your biggest things in practice this week. And just take us through, how do you guys try to improve that defense and slow it down?
Yeah, when you look at, you know, you look at what our offensive staff done, Caleb Small and Justin Ferris and Mike Malone, those guys have really done a nice job putting our guys in the best possible position to be successful. We got to continue to minimize those self-inflicted wounds like we talked about. And, you know, I think defensively, some of the issue for us right now is just making sure we have the right guys in the right spot. You know, we're trying to juggle some guys that we've lost and making sure that, you know, we got depth, Friday night depth at certain positions. And so we're trying to navigate that a little bit, you know. And then you got to look at it and say, you know, what are the best traits that this individual player has, and where do they fit our scheme and give us the best chance to be, you know, where can we put them to be for them to be at their best. And so it's a puzzle right now for us. We got to identify what our kids do well, and we got to put them in a position to be successful within our scheme.
I know that, at least for me, sitting up there watching, I was, you know, we were up in the press box, and there were times that it really, we just couldn't believe what was happening in front of us. So I know it had to be that way for you on the sidelines as well. Just how odd was that football game?
Yeah, I think when you're in the moment as a coach, at least for me on Friday, it was more about, okay, how do we go win the next play? You know, we ask our kids to play the next play and do everything they can. And if we're not living that as a coaching staff, one, our players are going to look right through us, right? And two, you know, if you're not hell-bent on, if I can say that, sorry, if you're not so fixated on winning the next one, like you're really doing a disservice to your football team as a coach. And so, you know, that's where my mindset was. And then you look back and, you know, I honestly, the first, I didn't realize, it's embarrassing to say, but, you know, I made a comment to Coach Vanderbush, like, you know, we can get a 2-score lead here, you know, coming out of the half. And he's like, you already have a 2-score lead. And it's like, well, shoot, heck, we can get a 3-score lead now. Like, I was so fixated on the moment that, you know, when, you know, you look up and the first time I looked at the clock and started counting seconds was when there was a minute 41 left and we had a 13 point lead. And that was probably, maybe that was the downfall, because I, you know, up until that point, I was just trying to coach ball and get our guys to win the next play and do everything I could to help them win the next play. And so it really probably hit me at 2:30, 3 o'clock in the morning Saturday, when it's like, man, like all of this just happened. Like, yeah. you know, I went home, watched the game, turned it on, took notes, did what I normally do, and it's, you know, 2:30, 2:45 in the morning, and it's like, man, tough one.
Yeah.
Tough one. So it certainly made for a long night Friday night.
And that will wrap up this first segment of Inside Ben Davis Football. Next up, we're going to talk about the Giants taking on the Lawrence North Wildcats this Friday night. This is Inside Ben Davis Football, presented by Bear Realtor.
Hey, hon, what you doing with your phone? Taking pictures?
No, I'm asking it questions.
Like what?
Hey, Bobo, do flowers have best friends?
I'm sorry. I'm afraid I don't know that.
Hey, follow me. I want to show you something. Look. Flowers do have best friends.
Whoa.
Some answers can only be found in nature. Discover the unsearchable. Visit discovertheforest.org to find a trail near you. Brought to you by the United States Forest Service and the Ad Council.
You took the first step and quit smoking, but even former smokers may still be at risk for lung cancer. That's why SaveByTheScan.org wants you to know about a new low-dose CT scan that can detect lung cancer early. It takes only 60 seconds and could save your life. You took the first step, now take the next. Visit SaveByTheScan.org for a simple quiz to see if you're eligible and talk to your doctor about screening. SaveByTheScan.org is brought to you by the American Lung Association's Lung Force Initiative and the Ad Council.
Now back to Inside Ben Davis Football, presented by Bear Realtor.
And welcome back to Inside Ben Davis Football, presented by Bear Realtor. I'm Jackson White, and joining me is WBDG General Manager John Easter and your head football coach of your Ben Davis Giants, Jason Simmons. So, Coach Simmons, a heartbreaker last week. When do you get those players back and focused for a 3-1 Wildcats team?
Well, it's pretty easy to. You know, you got to remind them now. There's nobody in Lawrence Township that cares about our feelings. Mm. And, you know, all you got to do is turn last year's game film on if you need any motivation whatsoever. You know, we played them here last year, lost to them in overtime, and, you know, they certainly wanted to remind us of that. After the game in the off season, all that other jazz. And so for us, it's a good opportunity. You know, our guys didn't want to wait until Friday to get this thing rolling, but, you know, we have an opportunity here to just get back in the win column and make play and give ourselves a chance here to be the, you know, get back to 500 and 3-3. But, you know, I think the important thing is how can we grow and get better as a football team? You know, the beauty of being in the state of Indiana is you're going to get in the playoffs. And so, you know, for us, we got to continue to climb and get better. We got to build depth that we're going to need here in the immediate future and down the road. And so we got to continue to coach hard. We got to continue to hold guys accountable, and we got to continue to practice hard. Those are things that we've done, you know, for the most part this season. So we got to continue to dig on it. You know, it's easy to identify areas where we need to grow and get better. You know, that was a big part of our focus Sunday morning as coaching staff. And, you know, those things get embedded into the practice plan and get embedded into the game script and the game plan. And, you know, we're going to go find out where we're at here. You know, we've had a good 2 days, like I mentioned in the last segment, and we just got to continue to grow and get better as a football team. There's some easily identifiable areas, and there's some detailed-oriented areas where – you know, it takes some hard coaching, and it takes a high level of player ownership in order to grow and get better.
You know, kind of unlike like we were talking last week with the Warren-Ben Davis series, which is a series where the Giants are significantly behind in that series. Ben Davis is way in front in this series. They have beaten Lawrence North 23 times, and Lawrence North has only won 3 in this series. But I will say this, too. Patrick Mallory, the head coach of Lawrence North, when he came in to LN, Ben Davis had just beaten them 75-0 the previous year in a game that I produced. And literally I was tweeting the score, trying to live tweet, and Ben Davis would score so fast. I couldn't keep up. And I don't mean any disrespect to Lawrence North, but that was just the way the night went. And, yeah. I think Mike Kirshner said they started the game with 39 players, and they had 36 at the end because 3 players quit during the game. And that's not – I'm not indicting Coach Dilley, or who's doing a great job up at Garen. And, you know, but he took over a program that was – really struggling, and certainly he's done a very good job with Lawrence North. So what makes him the kind of coach that's been able to just kind of turn this thing around up there?
Well, I think he's got a lot of grit and toughness to him. He's also a high energy guy. When you look at him with his players, he brings a lot of energy back. He puts a lot of energy into his players. You know, he's got some grit and toughness to his coaching style, and that certainly has resonated with those guys. He's got a lot of perseverance to him. When you look at the program that he took over and you look at the job that he's doing right now, you know, just for him to be able to stay in the race and keep digging on those guys tells you a lot about him, you know, and how he treats his kids and how hard his guys play for him. And so, you know, he's a daggone good ball coach. You know, he took over a program, you know, like you said, that was certainly a rebuild to happen. And he's put a lot of effort and a lot of consistency in that and a lot of energy in it.
Kind of tilted the balance, too, in Lawrence Township.
Yes.
The other way.
Yeah, no question. You know, they've won the last couple of Bell games up there, and, you know, I think that's been a big deal for their program, obviously, after going on a pretty good slide there for a while. And so, you know, I think it speaks to his persistence as a coach and just how he treats his players and how he gets his players to play hard for him.
So, Coach, this Lawrence North team does have a pretty solid defense going into this ball game. I know your offense has been just really good so far this season with passing yards and passing touchdowns. But one thing is interceptions and fumbles has been a big problem in a game like this. I mean, it's in the MIC network, MIC conference for a reason. So what's just going through on offense to try to slay away from the turnovers? I know you touched on it earlier, but just take us through for a deep team like this. I can't say it, but Lawrence North, you understand what I'm trying to say.
Yeah, I think the important thing is when you turn the film on, they probably more than anybody we've seen to this point does a really good job of just trying to create confusion at the line mm-hmm. of scrimmage. You know, they bring some 5-man looks, they bring some 6-man pressures. They try and junk the box up and create negative plays, and they've been able to create negative plays against everybody they've faced so far. You know, obviously they lost their week 2 game with Whiteland, but they were able to create negative plays in the Avon game and pressure their quarterback and get him off his rhythm. Got him to throw an interception in that week 1 win. When you look at him in week 3 against Lawrence Central, same kind of thing. They were able to create negative plays at the line of scrimmage, even playing Carmel. They were able to create negative plays. North Central, they created negative plays. And so, you know, I think it's going to be important for us to do what, you know, you hear the term all the time from coaches saying we got to stay on schedule. And what that means is you got to try and win first down. So, you know, how do you go about winning first down? First thing you got to do is ID the look that they're giving you. And then you got to make sure you get the ball in the right place at the right time. And, you know, when we haven't gotten the ball in the right place at the right time, it's led to some of those mistakes that we've made. And we got to be calculated and intentional with our play calls. You know, we can't just call something just to call it because we feel we hope it's going to work. You know, I said that, you know, last Friday, hope's not a strategy mm-hmm. here. You know, we got to be intentional about what we're calling, and we got to make sure we get the ball in the hands of our guys at the right time so we can try and get the ball in space and get out and run. But they do some good things defensively. They do some unorthodox things defensively that you know, are going to force our offensive line into communicating. We got to ID the look, and then we got to communicate what our responsibilities are, and we got to be on point with it. And we also got to win that. You know, we got to understand we may not get them all. You know, if we do get some negative plays, we got to have an answer for it right now. And we're going to have to win in tight windows again. Mm-hmm. You know, we had to do that last week versus Warren Central versus some man coverage looks and some different things they did. And you know, we're going to have to do the same this week. We're going to see some man coverage at times from Lawrence North, and they got some guys on the perimeter that can run and cover. And so we're going to have our hands full there. I mean, you look at them and, you know, you certainly turn the film on and say, man, they're pretty good defensively. And then, you know, the film flips over and they got a really good run game. They got a really good run game and they got a guy on the perimeter now that's back going into his third game and Omar Cooper that is special, you mm-hmm. know. And so it's we're going to have our hands full defensively and offensively. I mean, it's a good football team that Coach Mallory has. He's got his offensive line playing really hard. They're running the football really well. They got a quarterback that can extend plays and get some yards racked up when he gets outside the pocket. And, you know, they got a weapon outside the hash that can win. And he's a good player, a really good player. And then, you know, they create a lot of disruption defensively. And so, you know, we're going to have to be locked in, and we're going to have to be on point Friday, you know, in order to have some success.
I was going to ask about Omar Cooper since he's back. Certainly, yeah, he's going to IU, and there's a reason why he's going down to play for Tom Allen. How does he compare to maybe a Christian McCray who you saw earlier this year? And I know the Giants had some trouble stopping McCray. So how does Cooper kind of compare to him?
You know, when you look at the two guys, they're a little bit different right now. You can turn Omar's film on and tell that, you know, he's coming back from an ACL right. In some ways. He's not even 12 months out, which kind of speaks to two things. One, you know, what an athlete he is, but two, how hard he attacked his rehab, you know. You turn his film on and Krishan can get behind you and get vertical on you in a hurry. And both of them have good top-end speed. Omar's not near where he's going to be, but you can see him getting faster every week. You know, you turn the North Central game on, and he just lines up and runs by a corner, and it's like, man, he looks all right. Turn the Carmel game on, it's like, man, looks like he's playing a little faster. So, you know, we're hitting it at the right time for him, you know, as he's getting better. And they're a little bit different. You know, I think Omar's probably more of a nuanced route runner. You know, you look at him and his ability to run routes, and even coming back from an ACL injury, he can snap a route off pretty quickly. And it's like, well, that's a good, clean route, you know. So he's a special player, you know. And you know, as a young man, you're rooting for him, you know, because he's, you know, at, you know, playing against him twice. He's a high character guy. He just shows up and works. I've grown to really appreciate him as a football player, you know, coaching against him the last 2 years. And, you know, he's going to create – I'm not going to enjoy coaching against him Friday. I can promise you that. But he's a good football player. And, you know, from every experience I've had with him, he's a good young man. So he's easy to root for, you know. And it looks like he's getting better every week coming back from the knee injury he suffered last year.
Coach, one big talking point so far has been – their offense and how they're an extremely good running the ball team, and they have Omar Cooper, like you've been talking about for the last couple minutes. What's the game plan defensively? Because defensively, you guys have been excellent at getting pressure to the quarterback. You guys have sent some good blitzes. It's just that middle of the field has always seemed to be open against your team. So how do you do that against a player like Cooper? Then they have a talented running game as well.
Well, you got to try and stack the run as well as you can. You know, they combo and double team very well up front, and so you got to be able to try and split those and create a surge and not let them get on their tracks to be able to run. So you got to try and get the run either changed in terms of you got to force the running back to stop and restart or change directions early, or you got to be able to penetrate that double team and get a dent in there. So you can get a tackle for loss. You got to impact the run before it can get going, because it is a downhill run game. And then, you know, you got to make sure that you know where number 11 is. Mm-hmm. And it's going to be a delicate balance Friday, because you got to keep the quarterback in the pocket. You got to know where 11 is, and you got to be able to dent the run game and get it redirected before it gets started downhill. So you got to try and mix fronts up. You got to try and mix looks up. Can't let them tee off in one bubble, you know, up front, or you can't let them tee off in one particular run scheme.
So, Coach, big game this Friday night against the 3-1 Lawrence North Wildcats. Another game in the Mid-Conference, trying to get back to 500 in both. Final thoughts?
Yeah, we're going to have to show up and compete. You know, mm-hmm. it's another night in the Mic. And you look at our schedule, and, you know, when you start to stack these games up in a row, you got to rely on your players to go make plays, and it's our responsibility as coaches to put them in the best possible position to be successful. That's what we're working on, obviously, this week in practice. That's what our game plan is centered around, and you know, we're going to get on the bus and we're going to go deal with traffic on Hague Road and construction in the parking lot and go give it our best shot. So, you know, we're going to be ready getting off the bus, and you know, we're looking forward to having a good night.
Yeah, and I am excited for this game this Friday night. So the Giants will take on the Lawrence North Wildcats. Our coverage is starting at 6:15. as Owen Pulley and myself, Jackson White, will be calling action as the Giants take on the Lawrence North Wildcats at Dwayne C. Bell Stadium. Thank you for Coach Simmons for joining us. As always, this has been Inside Ben Davis Football, presented by Bear Realtor.
This has been a presentation of the Ben Davis Sports Radio Network.